Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty God, by your providence and by your sovereignty, this nation under God was begun. With a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence, 56 men representing 13 colonies put their names to a declaration that concluded with pledging to each other their lives, their fortune, their sacred honor, so that there would be freedom. Now, a new reliance and dependence on you is needed in our day. As your hand shaped events that founded this nation, we pray your hand will move again mightily. Remove the aristocracy of our time and restore that self-evident truth that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. 1,000 men huddled behind the fortress walls, keeping ready 20 guns, ready to roar at any moment's notice. And out on the water, 19 ships were sailing into position to lay siege. On those ships were 5,000 fighting men fresh from their success at the fall of Washington, D.C. to the British forces. And they were just moving up the Chesapeake to place and attack Baltimore. September 12th, 4,500 British regulars landed and began their advance towards Baltimore. They were hampered by the strong defense of the Americans and the steady rain through the night. Early September 13th at 6:30 a.m., 5 bomb catches, 10 smaller warships, and a rocket vessel were in a position and let loose. The bombardment commenced, and it was relentless, pounding away nonstop, hour after hour. Meanwhile, the British regulars advanced on land until they came upon 12,000 Americans behind earthen works east of Baltimore. Unable to find a weakness in the American defense, the British would hold position till the assault of the fort brought success. The bombarding ships moved in closer, thinking their barrage up to this time had been highly effective in damaging the fort's abilities to respond. And as the ship closed in, Major George Armistead gave the order, and the guns from the fort roared into action, forcing the British ships to draw back. Still firing volley after volley at the fort, cacophony of concussions reverberated all through the night. A shell struck the fort's unprotected magazine, but by providence, the shell failed to explode. Armistead moved the fort's gunpowder supply, spreading it around. Still, the bombardment rained down upon the fort. Flashes filled the night, booms of bombs detonating. A man watches from aboard a ship, and as dawn's light begins to lighten the eastern sky, words come to mind. Heart aches, wondering what the outcome may be after such a destructive barrage and bombardment. Would this experiment in freedom still be? There. See the flag. The flag is still flying high and proud over Fort McHenry. The emotion, the British were held. Baltimore stands. Freedom, liberty is still ours. Words flow with ink from the quill, expressing the heartfelt emotions. May the heaven-rescued land praise the power that had made and preserved us a nation. Then conquer we must when our cause is just, and this be our motto. In God is our trust. And the star-spangled banner in triumph shall wave o'er the land of the free and the home of the brave. Thus concludes the star-spangled banner's fourth and final stanza. This nation is unique. This nation is special. It's different than all other nations. This land established by people seeking freedom so they would be able to worship the Lord God freely. Faith in Jesus Christ, trust in the power of God to deliver. They came seeking to be that city on a hill and be that light to the world, a place of goodness, because God is good and God is above all. Am I worshiping this nation? No. I am being grateful. Expressing how good God was in giving this land to be a land of freedom. Some say keep patriotism out of worship. Some say keep the flag out of the sanctuary. Why? Don't you understand what God has done? Don't you know in the writing of the Declaration of Independence, in our founding document, God is acknowledged as creator? And God is acknowledged as the giver of rights. This had never been done in all human history. People declaring freedom from oppressive despotism and absolute tyranny. And they're laying down the facts in the 27 abuses of King George III. But acknowledging God as creator and giver of the rights. Have you heard the phrase, Black Robe Regiment? The British used this term to refer to the influence of the clergymen who promoted American independence. Theologically, they laid out the case for independence. And theologically, they made the case for the patriots' cause. The British acknowledged these clergymen were like a regiment maintaining the colonists' resistance. When the colonists questioned the legitimacy of rebellion and revolution and separating from Britain, these clergymen reassured them their cause was justified in the eyes of God. Lutheran clergyman Reverend Peter Muhlenberg was one of those Black Robe Regiment clergymen. You see, every Sunday for decades, these preachers would rise in the pulpit wearing their long black robes, and they would preach the Word of God without fear and without favor. They would root their people in the Word of God and expound upon the principles of good government based on God's Word and individual freedom, all under the kingship and lordship of Jesus Christ. What came to be embodied in the Declaration of Independence had been preached from the pulpit for decades. The rights listed in the Declaration of Independence are from sermon after sermon after sermon from the prior two decades. John Adams said, "The pulpits have thundered." John Adams also listed specifically those ministers that were extremely influential in bringing about the principles that led to independence. A British periodical of 1856 wrote, "If Christian ministers had not preached and prayed, there might have been no revolution as yet. Or had it broken out, it might have been crushed. The clergy were faithful. They were faithfully teaching and preaching the Word of God, applying God's Word, the principle of God's Word, applying them to every aspect of daily life, influencing the culture, influencing the people, influencing the institutions, proclaiming liberty, resisting tyranny, for tyranny was encroaching on God-given freedom. And the liberties flowing from that God-given freedom." What has happened in these last 50 years or so? The pulpit has been silenced. The people have separated their lives into compartments of sacred and secular. And as a result, the culture has rotted. Sermons have become more like pep talks filled with positive thinking because that is what the people want. Preaching a sermon that is meant to change who you are, change the way you go about daily life, to guide you and teach you how to think and how to live. Sermons to confront your wayward ways, contrast the culture with the Word of God, and speak clearly about people's character are seldom and few, and often rejected outright. But we are the salt of the earth. If the salt loses its saltiness, it is no longer good for anything. George Washington understood this being salt of Christian faith, the salt of Christianity, and he expected that salt to be influential in the Continental Army. One of General George Washington's first orders established clearly what he expected from the troops. In that order, Washington wrote, "Every officer and man will endeavor so as to live and act as become a Christian soldier, defending the dearest rights and liberties of this country." That his troop display Christian character was important to General Washington. And he later additionally charged them, "To the distinguished character of patriot, it should be our highest glory to add the more distinguished character of Christian." Christian faith was so important that July 29, 1775, the Continental Congress established the chaplains as an integral part of the Continental Army. In November 1775, the Navy chaplaincy was established. Christian faith and freedom go hand in hand. As Christ has set you free, you will be free indeed. Sunday, January 21st, 1776, a Lutheran pastor preaches from the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 3, verse 1. "For everything there is a season and a time for every matter under heaven." And he closed the preaching with this: "In the language of the Holy Writ, there is a time for all things. There is a time to preach and a time to fight. And now is the time to fight." With those words reverberating in the church, Reverend John Peter Gabriel Muhlenberg threw off his black clergy robe and displayed his Continental Army uniform with the rank of colonel. He walked to the back of his church and declared, "Who among you is with me?" And with that, 300 men stood up, and they became the 8th Virginia Brigade, fighting for liberty. Muhlenberg would rise to the rank of Major General. He was there at Yorktown in the surrender of Cornwallis. Reverend Peter Gabriel Muhlenberg's statue is in the National Statuary Hall in the Capitol, given by Pennsylvania in 1889. And the painting, Surrender of Lord Cornwallis, in the Capitol Rotunda, one of those giant, huge paintings, ending the Revolutionary War, Major General Muhlenberg, Reverend Muhlenberg, is included in that painting because he was there. The Word of God and Reverend John Peter Gabriel Muhlenberg bringing the salt and the light of freedom so that generations to come could be free. Now this sermon does not sound like a normal one to your ears, and that is intentional. You may say it is a history lesson, and yes, that is intentional too. I point you to your Bible, the Holy Writ, the Scriptures. Read your Bible and you will find the intersection of history and faith in God. intersection of God working in men and working in women to bring about His will, to write His story of history. You will find the hand of God steering history. And that is exactly what happened in the establishing of the Republic of the United States of America. I see God. I see the Christian faith in action as salt and light. I see providence and sovereignty with a mighty hand, God intervening and acting on behalf and the cause of freedom. Just like God moved on behalf of Israel. I see the blessing of people laying down their lives for others, as Holy Writ writes, greater love has no one than this, than he laid down his life for his friends. Generally speaking, they, that is the people that established this nation, saw the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus showed the way to real freedom. And following Jesus, their Lord and Savior, they laid down their lives, they gave up their fortunes, they laid it all down for something greater for those who will come after them. Freedom. I see in those stars and stripes, I see behind that red, white, and blue, I see the ideals and teachings and principles of the Christian faith. Because the Christians were salt and light during a very trying time. As the fourth stanza of My Country, 'Tis of Thee states, Our Father God, to Thee, Author of Liberty, to Thee we sing. Long may our land be bright with freedom's holy light. Protect us by Thy might, great God, our King. As the patriots of the past integrated the principle of God's Word and the principles of God's faith into their daily life, as they lived as the salt and light of the people, sacrificing for a greater cause than themselves, this day and age, our day and age, needs a new rising up of people to be patriots, to be salt and light, to show that Christian faith means something. You be the salt. You be the light. And therefore, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. For the generations coming after us need the freedom and liberty we had, and our world needs it even more. We were established as that city on the hill, that light to the nations. We have faltered. But if we, as the church, rise again to be that salt and light in everyday life, God will move. And God will do a mighty thing with freedom, liberty, and justice for all. Amen and amen.